Y'all help me out this morning. Good morning. Good morning. We are might be small in number this morning, but we are strong in power. Amen. Amen. Good. Hey, you're amening. That's a good word. Just quickly, if you're a man this morning, and you've always been a man, that's become a joke, and a real bad one. If you are a man and you are interested in growing together in godliness, in God's word with other men, the men this past Thursday committed together, starting tomorrow, to read through the book of Acts together, one chapter a day. So not a big bulk, not a big study. If you are interested in that at all, or you have questions, what does that look like? I'm a busy guy. How does that fit my schedule? Anything like that, I'm going to ask that you meet myself and Larry behind the divider there at the small table directly after service. So maybe we can talk with you about that and maybe get you set up with another man who's interested in growing in God's Word. Before we move into the Word this morning, I do want to say a quick thank you. This week has been a tough week for the Herman family. Amen. Amen. We've seen some passings as far as our members go, and so I encourage you to remember those who are grieving. It's been a rough week for Taylor and I, and so I ask that you pray for us. God is good. God is good. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, it is always fitting to praise Him. Amen. Amen. So let me pray, and we'll dive into God's Word this morning. Father God, we come together this morning to celebrate life. Lord, as we remember those who have laid down their lives for us so that we may have the freedoms that we do. As Paul so eloquently put, we also remember you, Lord Jesus, that laid down your life so that we might have life, so we might have it abundantly. Lord, we celebrate today because that death is not the final death. That death does not win. Death no longer has a sting. Death no longer has a victory because you, Lord, are alive. And our hope is in you. And so today, God, I pray that we will celebrate as it would be Easter or Christmas, Lord, because those things are just as true today as they ever were. So Holy Spirit, come, work among us, make much of yourself. And Lord, this morning, would this be all about you? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to continue our series, Rediscovering Jesus. We've been in this series for a few weeks, going through the I am statements of Jesus. Rediscovering Jesus. I gave you a line that you might want to remember and hold on to a few weeks ago, and it was this, is that what we do with Jesus, hear me, church, what we do with Jesus defines our lives and determines our eternity. Hear that with me again this morning. What we do with Jesus defines our lives and determines our eternity. Jesus is not your average Joe, is the point of this series. Is that Jesus is not just another man, but He is Lord and He is Savior. And what we might hear this morning is He's not only Savior, but He is Sustainer. There is never a point in our Christian life where we graduate or get past the gospel, the grace of Jesus. Amen? Never a moment. I was saved. It's hard to remember because time flies when you're having fun, but I think it was about nine years ago, Larry, that you introduced me to the love of Jesus and that I accepted Jesus as my Lord. And I'll admit to you today, I confess to you, profess to you today, that I need Jesus just as much today, probably more today than I did 9 years ago. That He's not just my Savior, but He's my Sustainer. That He's not someone who I just professed one time, but He is someone I am to lean on, to depend on, every day for the rest of my life. And so this morning, would we hear again, what I do with Jesus defines my life and it determines my eternity. So when it comes to Jesus, I better get it right. I better get it Right. Well, who does Jesus say that he is? Who does Jesus say that he is? This morning, we're looking in John chapter 10. If you're not there, I hope you'll be there with me. John, the Gospel of John chapter 10. We're going to go through the first 10 verses this morning. And here we find the I am statement where Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the gate. As far as translations go, you may be more familiar with the term I am the door. This is the same scripture referring to the same statement of Jesus. I am the gate, or I am the door. Regarding this, there's something that we all have in common this morning, church. And it's not that we all have belly buttons, okay? We all have this one thing in common. We all want life. And we want life to the fullest. Amen? Raise your hand if you want that this morning. That's common among every man, every woman, every American, every nationality, every ethnicity. Every man, every woman to ever walk the earth has wanted these two things. They want life, and they want to be able to live that life to the fullest. Amen? That's my desire this morning. God, I want life. And I want life to the full. I want to live in abundance. Well, what does that have to do with Jesus? Look with me, John chapter 10, and we'll rediscover it together this morning. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Man, Jesus starts off on a high note. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him. Because they don't know his voice. And today, this morning, you may be like those in verse 6. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. And so this passage, this chapter, is going to break down pretty simply for us. Jesus starts with an illustration, or what we might know as a parable, an earthly story with a spiritual, a heavenly meaning. And the people in attendance, like usual when Jesus shared a parable, didn't understand. You know, Jesus, what are you talking about? And so Jesus is going to break down for them the explanation of this illustration by two I am statements. First, what we're going to hang on to this morning is, I am the gate. He's going to move on in the latter verses, I am the good shepherd, and we'll cover that in the weeks to come. So what we're going to cover in verses 6 through 10 is his first example, his first explanation of what this illustration means. So look with me, verse 6. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. I'm going to read verse 9, beginning of verse 9 once again, because we can't miss this morning. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose, the purpose of Jesus, is to give them a rich, satisfying life. Or my purpose is to give them life and life abundantly. My purpose is to give them life and life abundantly. This morning, I just want to identify the characters in the explanation of Jesus. As we seek to have this life and this abundant life, this life to the fullest, this rich and satisfying life, both here on earth and eternally, We ought to know the characters in the explanation, right? We want to know, Jesus, what are you talking about? I don't know about you, but it takes me some time. I'm a little slow. I ain't too good at reading, all right? So it takes me a few times, Chris. It does. And so we want to go through here and we want to break down who are the characters again? Who are you talking about again? And where do we fit in to the story? So here in John chapter 10, we have three characters. And I just want to identify them for you quickly. First, who are the thieves and the robbers? Who are the thieves and the robbers? Jesus starts off in verse 1, saying, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. He goes on in verse 8, and he says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. And beginning in verse 10, he says, the thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. And so who are these thieves? We want to identify them so we can watch out for them, and we want to make sure also that we're not one of them. Amen? So who are the thieves? Well, in this text, and according to the themes and ideas throughout the Scriptures, the thieves are those who promise this life. These are those who promise life and life to the full. Thieves and robbers are those who promise life and life abundantly. The thieves and robbers are those who promise a rich and satisfying life, the one that we desire, but instead of delivering, they deceive. Thieves and robbers are those who act as wells but have nothing to water, have nothing to offer. They are those who say, come and eat, but you will starve. Now, Jesus may have been referring to anybody throughout the Scriptures. It's like he's talking about someone who might even be amongst the crowd. We see throughout the Gospels, the four Gospels, that Jesus often butts heads with the Pharisees or the Sadducees. What these people are religious leaders of the day, Jewish religious leaders of the day. And I'm sure that Jesus would refer to them as thieves and robbers because they had hijacked the Scriptures. They had taken the Bible and they had manipulated it to suit themselves and manipulated it to oppress others. That sounds like a thief and a robber to me. Someone who snuck over the wall and didn't go through the gate. We also see throughout the epistles, Paul often writes about those who take the gospel and use it for money. We see oftentimes through 1 and 2 Timothy and other letters to the churches, Paul writes, beware of the false teachers. He calls on Timothy and Titus to call out these false teachers and correct what they are saying so that the church and the world might have the truth about Jesus. I think Jesus would refer to those as thieves and robbers, those who would come and give a false gospel. We also see people like the church at Corinth, a church that had fallen in love with thieves and robbers. And these thieves and robbers didn't come in the form of flesh and bone, but came in the form of items and ideas. Oftentimes, our heart creates for themselves thieves and robbers. Talking about this, C.S. Lewis said of the human heart, it's an idol factory. Oftentimes we see things in the world that scream to us, life and life to the fullest. We see things in the world that scream at us, that advertise to us a rich and satisfying life. Have me and you'll never be hungry. Have me and you'll never be thirsty. The infomercial that says, oh, if you only had this for $14.97 plus shipping and handling. The world has all these different deals to offer us, offering us life and life to the fullest. But they're thieves and robbers because what they promise they cannot deliver on. Rather, they deceive those who invest. They're unable to deliver, but they are efficient in deceiving. They promise to give, but all they do is take. I was reading with a group of guys through 2 Timothy this week, and Paul says to Timothy, beware of those who make friends with vulnerable women, who take advantage of their vulnerability, who they win the confidence of people and make themselves, they work themselves into their home. Church, I want to submit this to you today. There are all kinds of thieves and robbers standing and knocking at your door, ready to take full advantage of any vulnerability. Any vulnerability. Not to give, but to take. And I don't know what that comes in the form of for you. I don't know if that comes in the form of some prosperity preacher through your TV set. I don't know if that comes in the form of a drink or a pill. I don't know if that comes in the form of unforgiveness and bitterness towards your neighbor, your father, or your God. But these feelings, these items, these idols, these false prophets will only take because they cannot give what they promise to give. Those are the thieves and robbers. But let's get to Jesus this morning. Amen. Who is the gate? Who is the gate? Jesus says it very plainly in verse 7 and then verses 9 through 10. Look with me, verse 7. Jesus explains it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the door for the sheep. Verse 9. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them life and life abundantly. We see here that Jesus says anyone who comes in through him will have safety and pasture. Think with me. Safety and pasture. Salvation and life abundantly. Life and life abundantly. Anyone who comes in through Jesus can have this life. Life and life abundantly. This is consistent with the Scriptures. This is consistent with the rest of the Bible. Jesus often states his purpose for coming. He did in Luke 19:10. I mentioned this last week. This is what Jesus says about himself. The Son of Man, who is Jesus, came to seek and to save those who are lost. Came to give them life eternally and life abundantly. Paul writes to Timothy, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul illustrates it perfectly for us in Ephesians chapter 2. If you have any time and you haven't spent much time in Ephesians chapter 2 lately, I would encourage you to go and spend some time there. Paul, to the church in Ephesus, illustrates this beautifully. In the first three verses, he talks about how they are dead in their trespasses and sins. Do you know that this morning? That when we buy into the lie of thieves and robbers, when we invest our lives into empty products, and all men have done this, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 tells us. You sin and you get death. But the good news of the gospel is Jesus came to save. He is the gate. And if you enter in, you can have safety and pasture. Ephesians chapter 2, again, the first three verses. Though you are dead in your trespasses and sin. In verse 4, one of my favorite phrases in all of the Bible. But God. Say that with me this morning. But God. And so rich in mercy. Though you were dead in your trespasses and sin, but God is so rich in mercy. You see, Jesus didn't come to render a verdict for the guilty. He came to give life to the spiritually dead. He came to make a way where there was no way. Jesus came to be a gate for men to have fellowship, relationship, life with God. This is the good news of the gospel. We celebrate veterans and those who laid down their lives for us so that we could have freedom. But may we never forget the one who loved us so much that he took on our guilt, our shame, our sin, and died the death of a criminal. Oh, how he loves us. He is the gate, and there is no other. The thieves and robbers will advertise themselves as the gate or the way to this life and life abundantly. Only Jesus is. He is our only hope of life, both abundantly and eternally. This is why I say this morning, what you do with Jesus defines your life and determines your eternity. This is why I've said for the last 4 weeks, and I'll say for the next 4 weeks, what we do with Jesus defines our lives and determines our eternity. And that brings us to the next person, the next character. Jesus mentions another group, the true sheep. Not just the sheep, but the true sheep. We see them come up in verses 8 and 9. Jesus says, "All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures." The true sheep. Who are these true sheep? The true sheep are those who enter through the gate. The true sheep are those who come in through Jesus and find life and life abundantly. In verse 8, we see these are the ones who did not listen to the thieves and to the robbers. These are the ones who would not be swayed by the world, but lended their ear to Jesus. They didn't just lend their ear, they gave their ear to Jesus. And they didn't just give their ear to Jesus, but they gave their heart to Jesus. The true sheep. The true sheep are the ones who experience life. The true sheep are those who experience safety and pasture, life and life abundantly. Only those. Hear this morning. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear this. The only sheep who experience safety and pasture are those who go in through Jesus. That's the message of chapter 10 this morning. The only ones, let's break it down another, it'll be here. The only people who experience life and life abundantly are those who trust in Jesus. Later on in this chapter, Jesus says, "The sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." The sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I believe this morning to experience life and life abundantly. I believe Scripture teaches for all of eternity, what life and life abundantly is to be known by Jesus and to follow Him. Can I tell you this morning, the joy of being a true sheep is that when you feel like nobody else knows you, when you feel like you don't have anything else, you know it's enough for you to be known by Jesus and for you to be following Him. That when everything is stripped away, you can look Jesus in the face and say, "Yes, you are enough for me." I would submit to you that cars and houses and lakes and boats, those things do not sum up life and life abundantly. What sums up life and life abundantly is life in Jesus. And only in Jesus will we find this life. Remember, there are thieves and robbers promising what only Jesus can give. In Matthew 7, 13, 14, we have similar language. comparing these two ways, the two options, following thieves and robbers or following Jesus, going through the gate. Enter by the narrow gate, Matthew writes. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. This morning I would submit to you, there is only one way to this life. There's only one way to life and life abundantly. There's only one way to a truly rich and satisfying life. And you say, Seth, I know this. I remember when you were in diapers, you don't have to tell me this. That's the joy of being the preacher boy that grew up. But Jesus isn't only our Savior, but He is our sustainer. And it's key that we remember this in all seasons of our life, because if the enemy, the thief and the robber, can find any vulnerability, whether that's pre-Jesus or post-salvation, he will find it. He will expose it. And so this morning, will we be drawn back to the point? Will we remember, Jesus is my only hope. He is my eternal hope. He is my hope for life and my life abundantly. And there is no hope outside of Him. That would explain our craziness about Jesus. Amen. That would explain our love for Jesus. His love for us. That while we were sinners, He died for us. This morning, because Jesus is the gate, we can hold on to the words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, church, would you know that Jesus is the gate? There is no life and there is no abundant life outside of Him. This morning, I don't know what season you're in. I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you've tried everything and you know you're not experiencing life and life abundantly. Today, I would say, come in through the gate. Today, you can do that by recognizing in your heart that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is the Son of God and He is the only way to salvation. And if you would just put your trust in Him for the forgiveness of your sins today, you can have this life and life abundantly. Think about that for a second, that the King of Glory laid down His crown in heaven and came and died on a cross for you and me. Don't you want to know Him and follow Him today? I pray that if you haven't done that, today would be the day of salvation for you. And if you're a Christian today, whether you're disappointed and frustrated by ailments with your body, whether you're frustrated with a family member who doesn't act like you want them to, no matter what it is this morning, would you remember that there is a way, that Jesus is the gate. And in Him, we can remember, realize, and rediscover life and life abundantly. Man, isn't that good? Isn't that good? I'm going to pray, and we're going to open up the altar for a time of invitation. Holy Spirit, would you move in this place? Lord, you are our eternal hope. Lord, because of you and what you've done, we can enter in and have safety and have pasture. And so, Lord, I pray today, if there's someone who is standing on the edge, Lord, that they would come in through the gate. And Lord, I pray that we would remember this eternal hope that we have in you. Lord, that if we have you, we have enough. That you are sufficient. That you are supreme. Rule and reign in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.